to kind of continue on in the same manner, line upon line, precept upon precept, only I'm bringing a different angle. Why? Because I'm not Pastor Weldon, I'm Pastor Mike, okay? But we're talking about the ghost today. The title of today's message is called Ghostbusters. Huh. You know, and we know in the natural, we're like, who are you going to call? And we're like, Ghostbusters. But I want to talk about how we bust the ghost in our life, or how we break the connection with the Holy Spirit in our life, how we kind of snuff out the move of God in our life, because that's, I used the word life just now, and that's kind of what happens, life, and when life happens around you, you kind of get really, really focused on life and not really what the Spirit can do within you, not really what God has already planned out for you. And so I want to bring a few scriptures to mind, and I want to talk about some things that are Ghostbusters. Everybody say Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. That was really not enthusiastic at all. Everybody say Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters. Yeah, and we don't want them. I don't want them. Say, I don't want them. I don't want Ghostbusters in my life, right? Yes. Yes. We don't want Ghostbusters in our life. We don't want things in our life that will hinder the move of the Holy Spirit. I want to start in Acts 19, and I'm starting at verse 1 and reading through to verse 2. And it says, somewhere in here, maybe I should put my glasses back on. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Everybody say several believers. They were believers, okay? They called them several believers. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. And they go on to say, no, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And I'm stopping right there. In the church that we know, okay, the body of Christ, us, there's a lot of emphasis that is put on God the Father. A lot of emphasis that is put on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. With rightfulness, okay? I mean, that's a good thing. But there is quite a lot of lack in the Holy Spirit. And this goes on to say that they got baptized, these believers got baptized in the baptism of John the Baptist. It was the baptism unto repentance. But they weren't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. John was telling them that the one that comes after me is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And they were missing this. They were just walking through life as believers. Not empowered. You hear what I'm saying? Not empowered, just believers. And so he goes on, and then he baptizes them in the name of Jesus Christ and lays hands on them, and it says immediately they all started to speak in tongues, a manifestation of a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Power came upon them, and I believe, as well as all those believers that I know, get changed like never before. There is an absolute dramatic change that takes place in their life. But I believe that there are a lot of Christians that walk through life, believers, that walk through life not even knowing or really hearing about the Holy Spirit. They may hear the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is kind of an afterthought. Maybe you don't really understand that, you know, not only did he come to be with you, but in you. You know how Jesus got mad and went into the temple and started turning tables over? You guys know the story, the money changers and everything. You've turned my dad's place into a den of iniquity. And he, righteous anger, and flipped it over. I want us to understand that we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we walk our lives not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit, which is the exact replication of Jesus Christ and Spirit that lives within us. And so when we do things out of the Spirit, we're doing things out of the will of what God wants for us in our life. And what happens is we end up with kind of trial after trial, trouble after trouble, misery after misery. Even in misery, there is victory with Jesus. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? Even in the hard times, because of the power of the Ghost, because of what lives inside of us, there's transformation that takes place where we don't have to focus on all the negative. So I just want to speak life. And I want to speak life that's more abundant. And I want us to be trained up and coached in the way that we're understanding, wow, even in the midst of situations, even in the midst of struggle, even in the midst of the storm, we have the power and ability within us to say, be still.
Amen.
Be still. Be still. And it's the power of God living and working through us. Something we need to understand is that the grace of God is just not the forgiveness of our sins. But the grace of God is also not leaving us as orphans. The grace of God is giving us power and strength to get through this world that we live in down here. That is the fullness of the grace of God. It's just not for the forgiveness of our sins, but it's so that we can be empowered and understand the full package of what God the Father, the Son has given us as believers. I don't want anybody in here or anybody listening to go, I never heard of the Holy Ghost. I never heard. No, not only do I want you to hear, but I want you to be filled. Ephesians 5:18, Pastor Weldon and I were talking last week. Ephesians 5:18 says, be ever filled with the Spirit. Do you know when you're full, there's no room for anything else? You know, the world says, right, garbage in, garbage out. Did you know you could watch or see garbage before you or destruction or despair, but when you're full of the Holy Spirit, that can't penetrate deep into you because you're full of the Spirit? Because there's no room for that other stuff to come in. And because there's no room for that other stuff to come in, there's no possibility of that other stuff to come out. The only thing that can come out of somebody who's full is what you put into it. And when you're full of the Ghost, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're full of the power of God, the only thing that will come out of you is the power of God. The only thing that will come out of you is the Ghost. The only thing, like rivers flowing out of you. And then we fill ourselves back up. And we stay ever filled, continuously filled with the power of God. And that is victory. And that's how we get through challenges and things in our life. And that is how we witness to the world. That is how we show the world that there's a difference in our life. That is how we show the world that we're not like the world, but we're different from the world.
Amen.
But what creeps in is Ghostbusters. What creeps in is these things in life. If you're following along with me, turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 32. This is scripture that talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. And so there's things that we do in the flesh that can stop the power of God moving and living in our life. And so it starts off and it says, get new glasses, Pastor Mike. It says, throw off your old sinful nature. We're to get rid of it. And your new former way of life, and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So right there, we're looking, lust and deception. Ghostbuster, right? Instead, let the Spirit or the Ghost renew your thoughts and your attitude, and let your new nature created, let it be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies, Ghostbuster. Let us tell our neighbor the truth, for we are all the same body. And don't sin by letting anger, Ghostbuster, don't let it control you. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. When we're trying to figure out why is not God working in my life, but yet we're doing this, we're doing the opposite of what God wants us to do. It's in contradiction. It's contrary. It butts heads with the Spirit of God that lives in us. And you're wondering, how come the presence of God isn't here, but all of this worldly stuff is here? It's because you're walking in the world, not in the things of the Spirit, not in the things of the Ghost. You're not seeing or reading the reality of what God has been saying. When we go, Pastor Weldon, you said this last week or the week before, you said, when was the last time any of you said, good morning, Holy Spirit? Or good morning, Ghost? And so I'm waking up every morning going, yeah, that's good. Good morning, Ghost. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Okay, all right. What are we doing today? What are we doing today? Because I, like anybody, could walk contrary to the ghost, contrary to the Spirit of God. I could walk in accordance and in line with my flesh all day long if I wanted to, if I chose to, if I allow things to get to me to a point where I can't see the importance of not walking in accordance with God, and I just become Mike the man instead of Mike the Son of God. You see, all of us can be put whatever name you have with it, right? Frank, a man, instead of Frank, a man of God. I'm trying to use names that aren't in here. Right? Give me a female name, right? Oh, yeah, I'm walking like a woman, but not a daughter of God. Do you know that we're sons and daughters of God? If you choose to be. And I'm going to get there in a little bit here. So some other things as I continue to read on. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Why? Because it's a Ghostbuster. Quit your stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. And then give generously. Oh, don't forget that. Listen, because what I'm showing, God is laying out reaping and sowing mentality. You sow anger, you get anger. But if you sow generously, you're giving back generously. Whatever it is, you smile at somebody, smile comes back. It is the principles of God. And he's laying, what'd you say, Chap? Chaplain Chuck? Is he with the children? Yeah. Chaplain Chuck said, work the program? Yeah. Yeah, right? If you do the things that the Bible is instructing us to do, the benefits are what he says will be. Don't, everybody put their feet out because I'm going to step on some toes. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So wait a minute. So is the Bible saying that foul language is a Ghostbuster? It is. It is. Like my mom said, if you're swearing and cussing and doing all kinds of things you shouldn't be, it's because you had nothing more intelligent to say. I never understood it. Growing up, I was always very stupid. I didn't have very intelligent things to say. And then I got saved and I got filled. And all of a sudden, it made complete sense to me because my vocabulary changed. And you know what? I had to think. I had to stop and consciously make a choice of the next word that was going to come out of my mouth when I hit my hand on something or stubbed my toe or somebody cut me off while driving. I had to change my language. That doesn't grieve the Spirit when you speak right, but when you don't, it does. And it goes on. Verse 30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Do not bring grief to the ghost. Are you with me? Do not bring grief to the ghost by the way you live. Wait, I thought I was forgiven. You are forgiven, but you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't bring grief to the ghost that lives in you because he lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in us. Let's not bring grief to the Spirit. But let's allow the Spirit to move in our lives. Why? Because in the Spirit comes what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Wow. And it goes on to say, and there is no law against any of that. So, right, if you don't want to be under the law, then don't act like you're under the law. Act like you are filled with the Spirit, that there is no law against. Meditate on that. And we move on. Where did I leave off? 31. By the way you live, remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So here we are. Get rid of all bitterness. That's a Ghostbuster. Get rid of rage. That's a Ghostbuster. Get rid of anger. That's a Ghostbuster. Get rid of harsh words. It's a Ghostbuster. Get rid of slander. It's a Ghostbuster. As well as all types of evil behavior because they're Ghostbusters. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Amen. I think that's an amen. I think that's an amen. So what is this? Instruction. This is instruction to us so that we are living a life that is what? More abundant, right? It says stop stealing. But what did the devil do? He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you see, stealing, anger, rage, all of that stuff is in line with the powers and principalities of darkness. But the other is in line with God himself. And that's where we, on a daily walk, no heavies, but on a daily walk, we individually have to decide, how am I going to walk? Am I going to walk in accordance and in line with the world, the powers, principalities of darkness, the ways of the world, Satan? Or am I going to walk in line with the gift that God has given me, the Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the one that lives in me to bring me comfort, bring me knowledge, remembrance of his word, the one that convicts me of right and wrong, the one that can stop me, that one that gives me power. It's always, I form these as questions for myself. Moving on, just some other things. Another Ghostbuster is fear. Any one of us can walk into a place of fear. We can walk into a place of fear of whatever. You know, phobias is one of the biggest issues in life with individuals. A fear of public speaking, a fear of driving cars. My mom never drove a vehicle. And my life was a little challenged growing up. She was afraid to drive, but loved to ride in vehicles. But the only vehicle we could ride in was a city bus in Long Beach, California. You know, and so any place and every place we went, we had to take the city bus. Not because we didn't have gas for the vehicle, because we didn't have a vehicle, because my mom was afraid to drive. So there were things that, my mom loved to go on long trips, but we couldn't go on long trips because she had to be with somebody in order to go on a long trip, because we weren't taking a long trip on a bus. Do you understand what I'm saying? It stopped the fulfillment of my mom's life because she had this fear. And there's fears that take place for anybody at any given time. But fear is the element of, we would say, lack of faith that God can bring you through this. Fear is when we're completely in our mind and not in what God can do in our lives. Fear is debilitating. And if you have fear, don't feel bad, but just know what you have, because we want to focus on the fear instead of focusing on what God has given us. Did he give us power or not? Did he give us the word to remind us? Did he give us breakthrough? Did he give us worship and praise? Did he give us the word, coaching, teaching? Did he give us other believers, other family members to be connected with? So in our downtime, we can be strengthened. Surround yourself with wise counsel is what the word of God says. Surround yourself. Why do you surround yourself? Because when you're surrounded, you're protected. When you're surrounded, nothing can penetrate you, and you have wisdom now, which is the application of the Word of God. I need to say that again. Wisdom is the application of the Word of God, and when that is there surrounding you, now all of a sudden you're strengthened by the power of God. You're strengthened by other believers who also are filled with the power of God, and it is a win-win situation. The church has been dying out in many occasions because people don't want to involve themselves with other people. They don't want to be involved with anyone else because they've been hurt. And this is a sad reality of life. Christians can be really good at hurting other people. And so because you've been hurt by word or deed, the last thing you want to do is be with anybody else. So you're not surrounded with wise counsel. So you stay at home and you watch the Christian channel. You say you love God, believe in God, and you do. And you do. But you miss the corporate fellowship together called koinonia, being cemented together so that you have now an outreach. Anybody ever had an issue? And go on a prayer list? My gosh, man. So people were praying for me this weekend. I walked into Bath and Body Works with my wife. That was horrible, guys. That was horrible. They were having this candle sale, and the line was like almost out the door. But I endured it. I walked in there, and there was a lady that my wife had just sold a vehicle to on Friday, and she said, "How is your husband? I've been praying for him." Doesn't go to church, just another believer. just another spirit-filled lover of God. And I looked at her and I said, hi, I'm her husband. I'm out of the hospital, man. It's all good. Oh, thank God. You know, because you never know. But we, just as God will never leave us or forsake us, we have to have one another's back. We have to be in the court right there with our brothers and sisters. We have to hold each other up because of strength in numbers. You're not a one-man show or a one-woman show. None of us are. We're in this together. I put it on the marquee out there. We're better together. We are better together. Oh, so could you imagine the unbeatableness of your life when you're filled with the power of God, the ghost, and you're walking out life and you've got an army of believers beside you? Wow, can you imagine what will take place? Anybody ever gone door-to-door knocking, trying to preach the gospel? Some have, right? Anybody? I'm going to tell you what. I was in Chicago with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And for myself, I'm a pastor, but for myself to walk up to somebody individually at the courthouse and go, do you need prayer? Was a lot more intimidating than walking up with a couple other believers. Yeah, we're going together. Hey, do you need prayer? All right, you pray for him. Not you. But do you know what I mean? There's power in numbers. Why do gangs, it's not one gang, gangs is a multitude. Why do they come together? Why does the army say it's not an army of one? Well, it does say an army of one, but that is because they all have one thing in common, okay? It's a commonality. Wars aren't won by yourself. How about that? Right? Write that down. Wars are not won by yourself. You can be a warrior, and you will fight a lot of battles, and I am a spiritual warrior for the kingdom of God, warring for you, my family, myself, all right? But there's a lot more power availed in agreement with one another, man. Amen. Don't hinder the ghost that lives in you. Say no to Ghostbusters. Say no to fear. No to fear in your life. Another one that will bust the ghost quicker than anything, guilt and shame. If you're guilty, feeling guilty about something, not realizing how much God loves you and that he made you right with him because of the death on the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, you're made right with God because of Jesus, right? We all know that? Do we all know that? Yes. Your righteousness that you have is because of Jesus. And it says in Romans 8:1, you did not receive the ministry of condemnation, but you received the ministry of the Spirit. You received the ministry of the Ghost. What? The power of God that now lives inside you. See, the ministry of condemnation was the law of Moses. It was the Old Testament. But the ministry of the Spirit is through our Savior Jesus Christ. And that now brings a whole new thing. So if you're feeling guilty and shame, stop it. Stop it. Look to God and just say it in a healthy way. Man, I'm sorry, God. I won't do this again. I'm messed up and I'm moving on. And he says, you know what? I already forgave you before you even said it, but I'm finally glad you realized it. You see, we don't realize these things sometimes, you know? Sometimes we're like, I think God might forgive me, but I really don't think he really could forgive this because this was pretty bad. And I want you to know today, guys, that sin is sin. Sin is sin. And God forgives you because of Jesus Christ. Get rid of the guilt, get rid of the shame, and move on with an abundant life. Lack of faith. There's another one. When you surrender to the Lord, you have to believe that he takes it. Okay. Last week, Pastor Kathy, in worship, you were declaring and you were saying, and it had come to me pretty strong. That's why I want to share today. She said, Lord, we surrender. And I don't know if it was fear to you or whatever. We surrender it to you. And it came over me just like, oh my gosh, you know what? I surrender stuff all the time. But here's the ticket. You have to believe that he takes it. You have to believe that he receives what you have given him. You see? You see, if we are surrendering our fear, but we have doubt in our mind that God will take it, now all of a sudden, instead of feeling freedom, we feel rejection. And now it starts to build more of a case of despair in our life. I've surrendered this over and over again, but I still got it. I want you to believe that he takes it. He took it over 2,000 years ago on the cross forevermore. You don't have to pick it back up. God takes it, and he does with it whatever he does with it. You don't have to pick it back up. So surrender your shortcomings. Surrender your fear. Surrender your life and know that he gives you a new life. Amen? Yeah. Another one is not activating the power of the ghost. Now, this is one of those things where somebody could come up to you. I'm just trying to make this practical. Somebody could come up to you and say, oh man, you know what the problem is? Listen, you just need to activate the ghost. Oh, you just need to activate the ghost. And you're like, do what? Activate. But sometimes it's not that easy. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's not easy to do that. But activate simply means act on or put it into practice. Put it into practice. So instead of concerning yourself with the thought of activating the Holy Spirit in you, put it into practice. Does that make sense? For example, I don't really feel patient. I'm praying for patience. Lord, give me more patience in this thing that I've prayed for 15 years. It hasn't manifested yet. Give me more patience, Lord. And God is saying, I've already given you patience by the ghost that lives in you. It came with you. It's part of the fruit that came with him or her or whatever you want to call the ghost, right? Asexual name. The ghost gave you patience, came with it. We just have to put it into practice. You don't have to pray for it. It's already there. You already have it. Just put it into practice. Understandable? Maybe. Galatians 4:1. This area here I want to close in. And I'm reading 4, 1 through 7. This isn't on your handout. This is a bonus scripture. Everybody say bonus scripture. All right. Because I like it and it's good. You need to think about this. And it starts off with Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Think of it this way. This is Paul speaking, saying, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Stop right there. Do we have an inheritance? Are we heirs of God? We have an inheritance, right? But that's no different than being a slave if we're still a child. I want this to sink in. If you are still in your Christian walk acting like a child, you are not receiving the inheritance that's yours already. Let me read on. Even though they actually own everything their father had, they have to obey their guardian until they reach whatever age their father set. Even though all of God's promises and blessings are already ours as children of God, we are not inheriting it because we have not yet grown up. To grow up in Christianity is a choice. I'll explain a little bit more as I read on. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. I'm going to come back to this. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Do you remember when I started in Acts 19, 1 and 2? What baptism were you baptized in? You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. We didn't even know. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own sons and daughters. I added the daughters, but he can adopt us as his very own sons. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit, the ghost of his son, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Amen. Now you are no longer slave, but God's own son and daughter. And since you are his son and daughters, God has made you his heirs. Listen, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross so that God would become your master. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that God would become God the Father, so that he would become your father, not your master. And a father has children, and those children grow up, and they're no longer called a child, but they're called a son or a daughter. It is time that we as Christians grow up in Christ and know who we are, that we are no longer children tossed to and fro under a guardianship and not responsible for any of our own actions. When you are grown up as a Christian, when you grow up spiritually, when you grow up scripturally in Christ Jesus, now you become a daughter of God. Now you become a son of God. And in that you have the full inheritance. In that it is all available to you. Do you see a Ghostbuster? Is walking through life as a believer in a childish way. It is time that everybody make their own decision. Do you see, it is not how long you've been a Christian that matters. It's the choices you make as a Christian that matters. Do you see, if I got saved today and died, and somebody was 40 years in the Lord and died, my reward would be the same as theirs. We're both going to heaven. It's not the time. It's the choices that we make. Number one, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of my life. Number two, I need to grow up. And I speak to myself in this just as I speak to you. What area in your life needs to grow up so that you're no longer called a child of God? We're all children of God, but so that you're no longer called a child. There's a difference between a child and a son and daughter. You see, my kids, my children, Alexis and Kayla, They were children, they were a child when they were going through school, when they were a baby, when I was raising them up, when Steph and I were raising them up. They were children. They weren't responsible. They didn't have to pay their own bills. They didn't have to provide their own food. There was a guardian over them that took care of them. Knowing that my children will receive everything, but you know, if I died, my child wouldn't receive everything until they what? Became of age, 18, a son or a daughter. I'm trying to get you to understand what the difference is. A child is always blaming somebody else for their shortcomings instead of taking a look at their own actions and responsibilities. A child is always looking to blame something on someone else. Well, I didn't get that because them. I got fired because they didn't like me. I got fired from a job because they were short-staffed. Instead of you growing up and going to work unto the Lord, you were just going and thinking you had a job. But see, there's differences that take place. Maybe they didn't like you. Maybe they were overstaffed. That may be. But you know, when you grow up and you're son and daughter and you do the things that you're called to do, big changes take place. So I close this with things that cause the ghost to be busted, not work in our life. Is as Christians, we have to grow up. We have to make choices that are good and right and just and noble. Anything of a good report that we think on, we also need to do. We can't live our life in anger, rage, betrayal, deception, deceit. We can't live that way. And when life comes and it gets hard and you feel sad or you feel depressed or you feel lonesome, you need to remind yourself that there's something bigger living inside of you, and there's a bigger body out there called the church that loves you. And you're not in this by yourself. And together, all of us can grow up and all of us can be sons and daughters of the Most High. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to your feet and we'll close in prayer. Father, I am I'm overwhelmed, Lord, not only by the love that you pour out on us, but Father, I'm overwhelmed by the love of the body. Father, I thank you that as we go through life, we don't have to do things by ourselves. I thank you, Lord, that you bring life to us. Even in the challenges, we still win. For it's a win-win with you no matter what. I thank you for the body of believers that stand with you in the midst of turmoil. I thank you, God, that we're stronger because of you and your ghost that lives in us. And I thank you that we are continually strengthened also through the love of the brothers and sisters. Our family, a body of one, believers in unity. I thank you, Father, for no division or separation. But Father, I thank you that we all need one another. Father, as we continue to go through life, I thank you that those things that would stop the move of the Holy Ghost within us, Father, that we would recognize them and they would be put to an end swiftly in our lives. I thank you for the strength to never give up, never give in. I thank you for endurance to run the race. I thank you for not growing weary in well-doing. I thank you for healings and manifestation of your power. I thank you for miracles. I thank you for family and friends. Father, on this day, I ask that you bless the body of believers, my family here today, those that are listening far away. Father, I thank you that you, Jesus, are the one who sets things right in our lives. If anyone doesn't know you, Father, I pray that they would come to you, recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior, know and confess the forgiveness of their sin. I thank you, Lord, that you are quick to forgive and heal and bring forth new life. And I thank you for the filling of the power of the Holy Spirit, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, the fullness of you in our lives so that nothing else can come in. Father, on this day as we leave and this week that we go, I thank you that we are continually strengthened. I pray, Lord, that the same atmosphere of this service leaves with those that were here and lasts until next service, Lord. Continued refueling and refiring. In Jesus Christ's glorious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.